It's Sunday the 7th of June, day 78. My column in today's Observer was about my hunch that only one man in the United States stands between Joe Biden and the presidency. That man is Mark Zuckerberg, the supreme ruler of Facebook. Zuckerberg is important at this moment because Trump is trailing in the polls behind Joe Biden and is unable to hold the mass rallies that inspire his fans. His only real assets are the 30% of the electorate who seem to be solidly behind him no matter what excesses he commits, and a campaign team that is consummately masterful at exploiting Facebook's micro-targeting advertising machine. In my column, I said that if Facebook decided that between now and November the 4th, it would deny access to that targeting machine to both Trump and Biden, then Trump would be toast. So the question is, will Zuckerberg do that? And the answer, I think, is no. So if Trump is re-elected in November, then the Facebook boss will have the end of the American Republic on his conscience, if he possesses such a thing. But there is another person who will also have to shoulder some of that responsibility too. His name is Nick Clegg, and he's a former Deputy Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and was once leader of a party called the Liberal Democrats. He used to be a fresh-faced progressive who represented the intelligent wing of British politics, but he lost his seat in the 2017 general election, and in October 2018 was hired as Facebook's Vice President for Global Affairs and Communications, in which role he escorts the company's leader through the shark-infested waters of politics and potential regulation. For those of us who took Clegg seriously when he was in British politics, to see him become the consigliere of the leader of one of the most toxic corporations on the planet was a shock. I felt it strongly because I'd voted for his party in three general elections, thinking that they offered a progressive option in a polity that was clearly stuck in a morass. And I wondered, how could such an apparently sane man come to countenance giving Trump a clear run at a second term? How can he sleep at night? And then I came on Anne Applebaum's remarkable long essay in The Atlantic on how people become collaborators and how they try to rationalise their behaviour. In English, she writes, the word collaborator has a double meaning. A colleague can be described as a collaborator in a neutral or a positive sense. But the other definition of collaborator, relevant here, is different. Someone who works with the enemy, with the occupying power, with the dictatorial regime. In this negative sense, collaborator is closely related to another set of words: collusion, complicity, connivance. Applebaum's essay starts with a study of those who were collaborators in the fascist and communist dictatorships of 20th century Europe, but moves eventually to consider the senior Republican politicians, particularly in the US Senate, who have found ways of accommodating themselves to a president whom most of them must privately loathe and despise. She identifies six different kinds of rationalisations. The first one in her list is the claim that, well, we can use this moment to achieve great things. In that context, it's notable that Nick Clegg struck precisely this note after accepting the Facebook appointment. I'm joining Facebook, he burbled, to build bridges between politics and tech. It's time, he went on, that we harness big tech to the cause of progress and optimism. I believe that Facebook can lead the way. To hear an alleged liberal talk like this about a company whose carelessness and ignorance enabled ethnic cleansing and genocide in Myanmar, to take just one example from a long list of Facebook outrages, really stretches one's faith in humanity. It would, in a way, have been more credible if he had avoided that preposterous claptrap about building bridges and just cited the third rationalisation for collaboration from the Applebaum list. It reads, I personally will benefit by collaborating. Just think of the money and the stock options. As H.L. Mencken might have said, if you're going to sell your soul, make sure you get a good price.